Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's Hour 5 G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we have a special MLB All-Star Midsummer Baseball Showcase special with Rob Bradford. Rob Bradford coming up at 7 o'clock, talking you through your All-Star break here in baseball. And for more baseball now, you got Woolchuck's Proper Round Tripper. Here's Zach.
All right, get him in now. Who are your picks for tonight's Home Run Derby on Netflix, which will feature the playmaker, Michael Irvin, right after this?
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him why.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing. High drive! It's tied!
We were not to have back-to-back champions at the Derby as Cal Raleigh, who was last year's winner, not participating this year. He's not part of the field. But you do have Kyle Schwarber. He's got 32 homers this year, and he's doing it at his home park, Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. You also have his teammate Bryce Harper participating in this. Ben Rice with 29 homers of the Yankees. Junior Caminero of the Rays with 28 homers. Jordan Walker of the Cardinals with 22 this year. Wilson Contreras of the Boston Red Sox, who's got 20. Munetaka Murakami of the White Sox with 20. And then Jack Caglione of the Royals with 15. Those are your options for the Derby field. Who are your selections? 877-881-1053. And I'm going to take
Kyle Schwarber.
Murakami to beat Schwarber in the finals.
Oh, okay. All right. I like that.
I think Schwarber definitely he'd be fun, and he's a guy that I think gets the home bump here. But there's something about Murakami in this. I think he's got an opportunity. He's been fantastic this year. He was hurt, or his home run total would be even higher. Give me the White Sox slugger. That's who I'm going to pick tonight, boys.
Man, I like what you're doing with that one. I do think I'm just going to go with the home cook and a Schwarber. Like, this dude has just been mashing.
He's a mash
this
unit.
Year. And in that park, the comfortability factor, home field advantage for Schwarbombs tonight.
No Harper? You think we get an all-Phillies final? You should go home cooking?
I don't know. I think Harper's dealing with too much baggage right now.
Even though he's saying, like, I did not condone this. I did not do this.
With the gambling?
That whole gambling thing.
He's sending videos to a FanDuel gambler who's down $1.5 million to encourage him to continue wasting and throwing away money.
He is denying giving FanDuel consent for that video. I did not know FanDuel would do this. I did not consent to it. And FanDuel had no right to do it.
I think you said Harper. I did not get down on my knees for FanDuel.
Yep. He didn't go full Baskey on this.
No.
So
he's not as much of a clubhouse guy as Baskey is, man. Baskey's willing to do whatever it takes.
Had I known FanDuel's true intent, I would not have made the video. The same is true had I known anything about Terriana's situation or about any alleged partnership between Cameo and FanDuel.
Ooh, okay. I'm looking at the odds right now. I just picked the favorite in Schwarber. I might be second guessing myself.
Where's Murakami on the odds? Am I gonna get some cheddar when he wins? He's third.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
+500 to +600.
Give me Murakami.
Caminero. Junior Caminero.
I like Caminero. I think that's a sexy pick.
I'm a big fan of Rice. So I'm gonna go with Ben Rice.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
The food.
Yeah, I'm going with the food.
I like that. Yeah. Okay,
going with Caglione.
I wish that was Calzone because I would go with that.
Gosh, Calzone. 100%. You can make him Calzone.
Yeah, I might. I think I will.
Let's do that. All right, so we've all got our picks in there locked. 877-881-1053.
Well, no, I just picked Ben Rice because I like Rice. No. I don't think
was your pick.
No, that's your picking. And if he wins, he wins.
Oh, I was being a smart, you know what.
I can't believe you're picking a Yankee.
You don't actually want to go with him?
No, let me go with the guy from the Rays.
Caminero.
Yeah, Caminero. Let me go with him.
All right, Caminero.
Junior.
Terrible pick, Willie. It's going to be Junior Caminero from the 682.
That's what I just said.
You're with Brian.
You know ball, man.
Here we go.
I did say I liked Rice, right?
You did.
Yeah, that's well documented.
And Ben Rice.
I look fat when I eat rice.
Could be a phenomenal pick.
Has your doctor told you to stay away from the rice?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
You talk about people, Lucius, that tell you to stay away from stuff. Doctor goes, can I talk to you about your weight?
Mm.
And I'm like, sure.
What do you want to know about it?
What would you like to know? You keep eating this way, you're going to just die. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow, he just laid it out like that.
Pretty much.
Is rice the one seed for you that's most difficult to stay away from, or is it bread?
man, it's a
toss up.
It's a photo finish for those two.
Yeah. And it's the rice with a sauce, right? Soy.
I could eat rice just what? Straight up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's
not
that.
Fried rice, but regular, just white rice.
Yeah.
Watch tonight, though, and I was like, we're having our draft.
Yes, we have the draft show dinner.
Draft show.
I was wondering
night
why Walchuk was looking so damn dapper today.
We're at D Lincoln tonight.
You don't have to lie to me. Okay.
I looked at the menu. They got a fried rice dish. It's like a side.
Oh, you're gonna crush that.
I can't.
You're gonna get two as an entree.
No, I can't.
But it's really a side.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm really so far since I've had the doctor visit, I've lost like 7 pounds. So
nice,
I'm trying.
Dude.
I'm trying because he told me, like, dude, you're 62 years old and you're doing this? Come on.
Yeah.
Think about yourself.
Don't you want to live to 63?
I was trying. Yeah, trying.
Seems like you're really trying now.
I am.
Kudos
I'm really
to
trying.
You. Seven pounds?
I'm trying.
Hey, looking good.
How you doing over there, Walchuk?
Me?
Yeah.
Not great.
It's just ebbs and flows.
It ebbs and flows.
I mean, when I've been around you, I've seen you drinking your meals.
Yes, I've been good on that. It's just the Father's Day weekend was a setback, I will say. Yeah. That wasn't good.
Yeah.
And then I've prepared for tonight to probably not be good either.
Home run derby?
But like, we went 10 pounds overall, and most of it usually is held in the face. No, because we're going to the dinner tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And
son
I'm probably,
of a gun.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll just go steak and veggies, possibly. But let's be real. Derek kind of will end up ordering a bunch of apps.
Yeah. Jerry's paying for this dinner.
I can't say no to the crab cakes.
No, you got
to
say yes to everything
tonight.
And those
are fried.
Crab cakes and have that lobster mac and cheese.
I think that with the parasite situation going down, I would stay away from the veggies. I think this is a perfect excuse.
Oh, wow. You think so?
Yeah.
Because the Brussels sprouts are kind of hard to say no to.
Well, I guess if they're cooking them, they're okay. You just don't want to go any raw veggies.
No raw veg.
Yeah. No raw veg.
I don't think we do. Like, we usually don't. I don't think we even do salads and stuff like that.
Well, they have good salads at this place. I mean, the whole
so
menu is really good.
Salad.
I'd stay away.
All right.
It's crazy right now. 3,000 cases, Michigan, Ohio.
Is it getting worse by the day?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, our table is fond of ordering these drinks, these whiskey drinks that come with smoke.
Oh, yeah, you set them up.
Yeah,
we're a smoky special.
We're a smoky whiskey drinking team.
It's a nice presentation.
Yeah. It is. No, they do a great job there. Shout out to D. Lincoln. All right, here's Jeff Passan, though. Like, is he excited about the Home Run Derby? And for the first time ever, it's going to be on Netflix when it's starting at 7 o'clock.
No, I'm not very excited.
Jeff, in your hair, what do you have to say?
Do you think these changes from Major League Baseball are a good idea, Jeff?
I do not. I think it's going to stink. And I'm like, genuinely, I'm worried about that, because the whole reason that the timer came in the first place is because it felt really slow. And the timer brought urgency, and the timer brought a countdown and an end. And, you know, we're just going to see tonight, I think, time between pitches. It's going to grind a little bit. But look, when you have Junior Caminero in there and Kyle Schwarber in there and Bryce Harper and, you know, luminaries who can hit the ball 500 feet, it's still going to be a good show. And at the end of the day, all we want to do is see people hit balls really far. And I think we're going to see that tonight.
And hey, the
did
guy
he
with
change his attitude mid question.
He did a little bit. He's like,
it's going to stink. And then all of a sudden he started talking about hitting 500 feet home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's I hate the format. It's going to suck. Yeah. It's going to take forever, but it'll
Can't
be
wait.
Fun to watch it'll people
be fun
just
to watch.
Hit dingers.
Yeah. What's he thought about it, who's paying his bills.
He's like, wait a second. I probably shouldn't. Although it's not on ESPN anymore. It is on Netflix. Maybe he felt initially he could get away with it because ESPN's not promoting it. But yeah, either way, you did. You heard like, it's going to suck. That's how he really feels. And he circled back and was like, but at the same time.
I was kind of thinking he was going to attack it, and then he just pivoted mid answer.
But this thing, they change the rules every freaking year.
They haven't figured it out.
And they just don't know. It's like, guys, come on. And first off, if you don't want it to be as long, maybe you should just make the field smaller. We don't have to do every round. Just do like a one-off.
What if they did it as like instead of individuals, we had a draft, and there were four guys.
Okay.
You know, they did eight guys, so we had four and four. So you had like a team aspect to it, like a National League versus American League kind of a thing. Or whatever, you know, but you had it, you made it where, like, you put it on them, like, if somebody fails at it, you know, like, oh, the team got let down because Jordan Walker didn't hit enough home, you know, I wonder if that, or like, oh, look at the Ben Rice, he carried the day, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think a team competition would be fun.
It would kind of make it fun. And you can keep it as NL versus AL.
Right.
You know, that type
of
deal.
Right.
And maybe you could even mix in like some old timers, you know, some legends. You wouldn't want to see like Ken Griffey Jr. go up there and slug?
Let's get Raffy up there.
Why not? You know, some of the greatest to ever do it. Barry Bonds.
Babe Ruth.
Babe. Resurrected.
At least one guy leaves in an ambulance.
You think so?
Some kind of back pain. Something's going to be yeah. Something.
Oh, yeah. I think Mark makes McGuire, more watchable.
Mark McGuire swings, his arm flies off.
Yeah. Sciatica. Something's going to strike them down
just
right
pulls
there.
Pulls a hammy bone. Did you guys watch a single second of the Major League Baseball draft?
I kept up with it.
No, I did not watch.
I'm with you. I was keeping up, but I can't say I watched it.
I honestly was looking on MLB.com and just to kind of see who the Rangers were picking.
Well, and the Rangers had an interesting draft overall. They ended up getting a guy in the second round in Como who they thought about taking in the first round at 16. They went with Gio Rojas, who ends up being one of the best pitchers in the draft. They didn't think he'd be available at 16. He slides there. Kip Fagg said he believes he is the best pitcher in the draft. That's who they had at the top of their board. So they say. Everybody says that afterwards. But overall, a lot of pitching. And the first three picks, I think, were all high school players, and then it just ended up being like an all-college type of draft. But the first overall pick was a college player. It was UCLA's own Rock Chalowski. Now, he was the Big Ten Player of the Year the past 2 years. He hit 320, 21 bombs, 60 RBIs. But number one overall pick, here's Rob Manfred going up to announce the selection. Does he pronounce his name correctly?
With the first pick of the 2026 MLB Draft, the Chicago White Sox select Rock Chalowski, a shortstop from UCLA.
It's the number one overall pick. And you'd think that you'd have it written out for your Major League Baseball commissioner. It's Chalowski. It's not Chalowski, you freaking dumb.
I don't, unless they misspelled it on there, I don't know how you get Chalowski out of that.
That's a shame. That kid will never have that opportunity again.
Right. Well, it worked for Brett. Yeah.
Just a shame.
Does sound like a made-up name to me. Chalowski.
Chalowski.
Rock Chalowski.
I think it looks like Chalowski. Like C-H-O-L-O-W-S-K-Y. Chalowski.
Yeah, you just sound that out, Chalowski. I mean, if you went Chalowski, I think that would be the only thing that I could understand.
Sure. Chalowski?
But man. Chalowski is not... It's not working.
Manfred's kind of an idiot.
Chalowski.
I know, and that's why this has been a huge deal.
I don't
like
the
Manfred
way.
Is not liked. And, I mean, he called it. He called the World Series trophy a stupid piece of metal. Baseball fans hate him.
Yeah.
So any opportunity they can
he's
to just like rip on, Manfred like this. Whereas otherwise, maybe you get the benefit of the doubt. But if anything, I think you'd get the first name wrong, which is R O C H.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That could be Roche. That could be Rosh. But he goes by Rock. He gets Rock right. He messes up Chalowski as Chalowski. Rob, what do you
think? Rock Chalowski.
Rock Chalowski.
Rock Chalowski. Gosh, freaking idiot.
Yeah, that is pretty brutal, but I think what it underscores for me is just the fact that nobody knows who these guys are, not even the people inside baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a big guess.
And that's what makes the draft interesting is after studying them is watching to see if the sport agrees with you.
Right.
Or who you're getting, right, which you can get off Twitter.
Look at Evan Carter. People were making fun of the Rangers. Wasn't even a top 300 player. Turned into a bleeping World Series hero.
Yeah.
That's our guy.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's got to be hitting at least 180. Right
He's crushing it now, right? Eric, what are you doing? Yeah. You freaking bleep hole.
Acting like batting average is important.
He had a deal the other day where he had three straight hits.
No, he had three straight hits the other day, Eric.
He's going into the break on a bit of a heater right now.
Okay, you know who's not going under the break with a little bit of a heater? Jacob DeGrom. They're going to give him the all-star break to deal with this lingering ailment that he's got. We don't know if DeGrom's going to be coming back and he's ready to rock afterwards. He's saying good things. The club's like, we're going to wait and see. But I don't
know. It's a pulled butt cheek.
It is.
Yeah.
It's he is on the IL for butt cheek, soreness, tightness, looseness.
You might be able to help him with that recovery, Dawson.
Yeah, got some expertise.
Tell me your tricks to the trade. The All-Star Game starters, Phillies, Christopher Sanchez is going to get the home nod as the starting pitcher for the National League. Dylan Cease going to start the Midsummer Classic for the American League. So those will be your starting pitchers for the All-Star Game tomorrow night.
Jacob Latz will get the save.
And you called that a couple weeks ago before he was even announced.
Yep.
Bam.
How about his new intro?
Dude, I think it's sick.
It is.
It's really cool. And that's why I'm like, now that he's got an intro, he's got to just stay a closer. Now it's done. It's done. You're not a starter anymore. You're a closer. It's official.
I think he's embraced it.
You've got your badass closer walkout. Yeah, hell yeah. And you can make a ton of money being a badass closer.
They got like a light show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rangers are doing it big.
They're rolling them out.
I love it.
I like how they're not afraid of talking about their record and the high leverage moments. No. They're celebrating it.
They're owning it. Yeah. As they should, because the rest of the league sucks. Speaking of the division, MLB rumors right now are the Mariners could be shopping one of their starting pitchers, 33-year-old Luis Castillo. You tell me if those are rumors out there and the Mariners are looking to be in Sellers. This thing's the Rangers division to take, baby.
CY is probably on the horn right now trying to get this
guy.
I wouldn't mind him. 33 years old. He's got a 4.93 ERA, 15 starts this year. He struggled, but he's been damn good. You want to add him to the rotation and be my guest? You know they're going to add a pitcher. That's what's going to happen.
Well, Rangers? I mean, a reliever, I think a reliever is a guarantee.
Yeah. Maybe two.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
How's that buy-sell discussion been going in my time off? Are we buying?
We're
in buy mode
now. We're just waiting for you to come back.
There's definitely fans that want them to sell that don't think that they're really good. And they're still like two games over 500, but you're a game and a half up of the division at the All-Star break. Unless they just totally implode the next couple of weeks, they're going to buy. I don't know how much money they have to buy, but they're going to buy. They're not going to sell.
Any hope of getting Corey Seager back in the lineup by September?
I would say
by September. I think they're going to shut him down.
I think they're going to shut him down.
I think they should.
It's a long season.
I think they should say, you know what, Core, 60-day IL.
We don't need you out here.
We're done.
Looking like you.
Let's get you healthy and ready for next year.
I like it. I don't mind it, especially because the team's kind of figured out how to play without him.
Yes, they have. And Kim Colley, our guy. Look at him turning double plays, being just a badass.
Couple of veteran bats, expiring contracts. You got plenty of salary. You can eat all the salary. You don't need the team to hold it like you did in 2023. You know, minor prospects for players who aren't, under team control beyond this year. I think it's there for the taking. And I'd be really excited if we could get to middle of September with this team in first place, just with the prospect, the idea of what this pitching staff could do once we get to the postseason. Thank you, Woolchuck. Round tripper every night, 6 o'clock here on The Fan. What are we doing next, Chief?
Sports Hodgepodge. Is this fan base being set up for an all-time letdown and an athlete has gone into hiding? Next to the...
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now for a Sports Hodgepodge. Segment's brought to you by The Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call The Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here's Eric.
I think this fan base is being set up for an all-time letdown right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening
to
you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
Okay, just a little housekeeping here for you. Looks like Morez Johnson Jr., your top 10 pick of the Dallas Mavericks, left calf soreness, missing tonight's game.
Brutal.
Nico would have him traded tomorrow.
That's right. He's out of shape.
Ryan Nemhard also dealing with an illness. He's going to be out for tonight's game as well.
Brown bottle flu.
He's probably been
in Vegas
drinking his sorrows away.
Score update, Mavs dominating, 19-12. They're kicking ass.
Are they? It's all about Larry tonight.
Yeah, Sergio De La Rea is at the free throw line.
We just call him Larry. Apparently, that's what he wants to go by. He's just Larry.
Where do you get? Is it De La Rea?
Yeah.
You go with Larry?
Everybody just calls him Larry.
All right.
So Larry.
You're calling his last name is Larry?
No, it's La Rea.
Oh, my gosh. Mavs are on a 17-2 run in the last 5 minutes. I think they're winning the finals, boys.
Let's go.
Hang that banner.
Old Chuck's got the Cowboys going to the NFC Championship. And
Stars winning the Cup.
Stars winning the Cup. Wings winning the trophy. What's their trophy called?
Said conference finals.
Thank you, Lucius. Really excited. Conference finals, baby.
We're going to have a parade.
Let's go.
Guys, there's a fan base that's being set up. And I thought they were going to be all smiles. But maybe that's not the case. I would like to take you to Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Okay.
Where LeBron James is, I think, about to do a number on the Cleveland Cavaliers fan base. Mm-hmm. An entire organization. Here is their head coach, Kenny Atkinson, during their recent summer league game. Hopped on the broadcast. They're chopping it up with him. And listen to what he wedges into the conversation.
That's going to be our step. And then you guys know there's a little free agency thing going on right now. So
you never know what
that, that could be our real jump.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. So, that's exciting, too.
Okay, so he's already talking about what could be very exciting with the addition of free agent LeBron James going back home, a storybook ending it would be. Unless, of course, the multiple Western Conference executives who are expecting LeBron James to sign with the Warriors over the Cavaliers actually comes to fruition. You had LeBron James out on a golfing extravaganza.
Oh, imagine that.
With Draymond Green over the course of the last few days. And Draymond, of course, acknowledged on his podcast, yeah, part of that was me doing my elevator pitch. But an elevator pitch that lasted for probably 4 or 5 days worth of 36 holes hanging out on the course.
36 every day?
Yeah.
At least 18.
This guy's bit playing golf.
Yeah, he's got the bug,
He's got the bug.
And so you have Draymond out there recruiting him. Now maybe these Western Conference executives are just sort of, I don't know if they're shaking in their boots about it, but they're in the West, and maybe they're just a little bit concerned of what the trio of Steph, LeBron, and Draymond could be. But I don't know, maybe this is the week we get the decision. And it'll be interesting to see how he actually goes about doing this, right? Like, of course, you had the first decision where he's doing the crazy deal on ESPN with Jim Gray announcing he's going to Miami. And then the second one was like a pre-set-up Sports Illustrated cover that they had the whole story. I forget who the writer was, but he handpicked one of the prominent writers to do the welcome home sort of story for him. So how will he go about announcing it this time? You're not going to get a Shams tweet. I mean, you ultimately will when the news breaks, but I don't think Shams is going to be in control of this. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be LeBron and his team some way, somehow, putting it out there. Is he going to go on somebody's podcast or how they're going to announce it? I don't know. But
I
would have to think sometime in the next 7 days he's got to go ahead and make this decision. Like, how long are you going to stretch this thing out? But if he doesn't choose Cleveland, I think they are going to be not only devastated, of course, I think they're going to be pissed off, dude.
Man, it's a perfect story arc to take him home. I don't know. If I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm still not believing it. I just believe he wants to stay in California. But if you're LeBron, like, the opportunity to go home has to be huge. But other than that, like what you're saying, why would you want to turn the knife into your fan base in your home state like that?
Yeah. I mean,
I just don't think he's that aware.
Well, I mean, the longer it goes, the more it makes me feel like he's not choosing Cleveland, because he wants to at least make it seem like, man, this was such a tough decision for me. I was thinking about it for weeks on end, agonizing, and I just think Golden State or wherever is a better opportunity for me to win, because I don't know. If he was going to Cleveland, you would feel like, man, that would have just been open shut case. It's like his best friend's the assistant GM there. Everything works out. You're going back home. Feels like that would have already just been taken care of and handled.
Sure.
But I just – you remember how nasty it was with Cleveland the first time. I don't think it would be anywhere close to that. But I do think there would be quite a bit of genuine disdain for LeBron for at least a season, for the fact that he's going to do his retirement tour somewhere else other than home. That's going to sting, dude. And you have Kenny Atkinson talking about it. I don't think Kenny Atkinson is a great coach to have if you're in the market of trying to lure LeBron, if he actually wants to win.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenny Atkinson's that guy. He's the analytically, we should have beat the Celtics when they swept us or whatever. Like, I don't think that is what you want to do there if you're LeBron and winning. Like, where do you think, I asked them the other day, where do you think, Dawson, Golden State, Philadelphia, Miami, Cleveland?
Dallas.
Where do you think is the best place for him to actually, if he wants to win?
I would say Miami with Bam and Giannis. You know, but the thing is, in today's NBA, it is so wide open. And I don't think LeBron pushes any of these teams over the top to being the clear favorite.
Mm.
You know, we've talked about how important it is to have at least four guys out there that can defend at a high level. And I don't think LeBron's that guy anymore. You know, he's not quite to Ronaldo level, who it was really sad at times watching him in the World Cup. His inability to put his foot in the ground and go the other way.
Yeah.
He would just kind of fall into whatever direction he was heading. And LeBron's not there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely in pick his spots mode defensively, where on any given possession or moment, big time, possession, I think he can still be close to dominant. But you're not getting four quarters of that.
No.
And if you're going to go play with James Harden in Cleveland, you're going to be asked to shoulder a lot defensively.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, and even in, you know, playing with Draymond and stuff, that would probably be fun for him.
It's
got
to be the 76ers, right?
Yeah.
On paper.
On paper, yes. But you've seen the reports of this, like the deep concerns that he would have with the Joel Embiid factor. Like, yeah, on paper, you're going to team up with Joel Embiid, but in no way can you guarantee that he's actually going to be there. Yeah, Maxey, I think, is the biggest draw for him. Jaylen Brown's not Mr. Hey, I want to pass you the ball. Like, that's the thing with Philadelphia. You have just a bunch of ball-dominant dudes.
But
like, Jaylen Brown needs the ball in his hand.
They have the best roster, right? I mean, the best roster.
It's just like thinking about fit and like how, like, I think he'd be a guy that could sort of run your offense as the point forward. But Jaylen Brown needs the ball in his hands. Maxey needs the ball in his hands. You don't know if Joel Embiid's actually going to be healthy. As a matter of fact, you probably do know he's not going to be healthy. But, I mean, all of them are flawed. So, I don't know. I think defensively, yeah, Miami's probably the best. It's like, okay, I can kind of relax. I got Bam and Giannis. Those guys can shut some dudes down. But then offensively, you might run into a couple of problems. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he approaches this, and if he leaves Cleveland high and dry at the altar, man, I think they are going to be. You'll probably see videos of a couple of jerseys getting burnt up. I really feel that way.
Uh-oh. Same song, second verse.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in that first game going back to Cleveland after not doing your retirement tour there, I don't know. I just don't think that's going to sit well with them.
Expectations, the beginning of suffering. You know, we watched Toy Story 3 and 4 preparing for 5 at the house.
3 is so good.
By the time we touched down in DFW, Remy was asking, when are we going to Target to get me the Buzz Lightyear toy?
Nice.
So I told her, Saturday afternoon, you know, as soon as we get there.
Yeah.
We're heading home. We're dropping off the luggage. We're going to get Buzz Lightyear. Got the Buzz Lightyear. It was only $21, which surprised me.
Mm. Is it a legit one?
Well, we get home.
Oh, gosh.
The buttons don't work.
Oh, dang it.
He can't say infinity to infinity and beyond?
No. There's no jet sound. There's no infinity and beyond. There's no, you know, inner voice or whatever happened.
Was she disappointed?
Oh, devastated.
I got a mute one.
She made her mom wrap it back up.
Yeah.
So they're taking that back to Target tonight.
Oh, nice exchange.
Yeah. Got to find the one that actually talks.
You got to probably spend $50-$60 on something like that, man.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And I just threw Abby's away like 2 years ago. You know?
Oh, gosh.
I was like, oh, this thing's useless.
Yeah.
You know, perfect. Just go ahead and clean out the closet. There goes Abby's Buzz Lightyear.
Mm.
No harm done.
Yeah, it's a bummer when they get a toy and it doesn't work.
That Toy Story 4 hooked me, dude.
Yeah?
Because, you know, Woody becomes a lost toy.
Yes.
He's out there in the wilderness now.
I don't think I've seen, other than maybe like the first two, I don't even know if I saw 3 or 4.
I think
3
is the best one. Before was also good. The ending kind of gets you.
So they've all held up. Like,
yeah, they're all good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're all good.
It's a good story arc.
All right, well, we have a story arc going on in Colombia right now because you have a Colombian footballer, Jaminton Campaz, who is now refusing to return home with his teammates after death threats over the costly miss that helped knock Colombia out of the World Cup.
Which his last name is?
This is the sound. Campaz, C-A-M-P-A-Z, Campaz.
Campaz.
Here's the miss on TV.
Xhaka made a mistake. Campaz in for Colombia. Oh, he's missed it. What a chance. The Colombian bench can't believe it. Jaminton Campaz can't believe it.
Yeah, you don't want to head home for that, you know.
Dude, I wouldn't want to play. I wouldn't want to play for my country if I knew that they were going to be, like, seriously taking these death threats? Like,
yeah,
you like are genuinely scared of going back home if you make a mistake?
There's a rabbit hole to go down with these, whether it's your government punishing you and torturing you or crazy citizens. But I think everybody remembers the 1994 Andres Escobar story, and that happened to a Colombian scored an own goal in the
Deflection.
World Cup here in the USA.
Deflection off his foot.
Went home, and he was killed outside of a nightclub in Medellin. I think that was the two Escobars. Medellin. Was that the 30 for 30?
Yes, that's exactly right.
How can you not be just shaking in your boots if you're playing for one of those countries that will literally try and kill you if you make a mistake? I don't even know how you'd want to suit up.
Like, I can't play free.
You got to have all-time confidence to be like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any mistakes that are going to have me killed when I get back to my home country.
There are just so many of those, like, pinball situations where the ball gets crossed or fired into the box, and all of a sudden it's pinging around, and it could go off you and into the goal, and the next thing you know, you're a wanted man by organized crime.
Yeah.
In your home country. I think I'll pass on that one.
Okay, I would like to ask Austin Nix, our video coordinator, to throw up a video on the fan cam right now. Of course, the craziest video of the weekend. We've all seen it, right? The bison.
Yeah, the bison.
Oh, my God.
It reminded me, I showed my dad, it reminded us of the bull riding stuff we watched.
Yeah. It looked like an older gentleman as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was getting around slower than I would.
He was trying to run around the trees.
I did like that. That was a good strategy.
Yeah, run around the trees.
Yeah, run around the trees. Because he's not going to run through the tree. You know, you got to stay on the other side of that tree.
Yeah.
But that bison went around the tree.
He went in there and rooted him out.
Yeah.
Dude, the video.
Is this guy okay?
Yeah, he is okay. I mean, to some extent, like, he definitely got hurt.
Rides
I think he broke his leg and he was down. They get the ambulance there within about 10 minutes or so.
Definitely some embarrassment, too.
Definitely some embarrassment. I mean,
because every media outlet is showing him just froze in the air.
I know.
Trying to catch, with his hands back, trying to catch his fall.
The screenshot.
Yeah, the screenshot is nasty,
of
man.
Him heads, or like with his legs over his head. And he is launched into the heavens while living in hell in real time. I didn't realize how big bison were. Maybe I'm just insane. But the size of that thing was ridiculous. And they kept a safe distance. Apparently, it happened at Yellowstone. And so they're out there taking pictures. He's with his grandkids or whatever. They keep a safe enough distance, which they say is like 75 feet or so. And they weren't doing anything to agitate the bison necessarily, but I guess the bison just locked eyes with this guy. And next thing you know, him and his grandkid are running away from it. And as you guys mentioned, he's running in a circle around this group of trees. And it only takes about two times around that circle before all of a sudden that bison. I was just blown away at the explosiveness.
Yeah.
And the agility, like
the power
to be able to run to run the circle. It's like an edge rusher drill. You like be able to dip and rip.
I'm telling you, Eric, one day sit down and watch YouTube, like great, they call them wrecks in bullfighting. They have like the 10 best wrecks in bullfighting, bull riding is what I'm saying.
Bullfighting would be a hell of a sport.
No, I showed Dad they're running with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. So I was showing Dad that. I'm like, he's like, what else is on? I go, hey, watch this, Dad. And then next thing you guys are getting trampled in but they have a broken down now for like the season, like the best wrecks and bull riding. I mean, it's like there's a couple of guys on there. They're either gonna score 90 or they're gonna be thrown out of the arena. Kind of a thing.
That's the most impressive thing to me, how they get their head low and then they can just lift it and send you with like 5 tons of power.
This when you watch these bulls,
it's like he got launched off a blob.
They get
at Fat
these, King. I've learned this. These bulls get you sitting back and they get you up on their hip and then they throw you with their hip is what they do. So they throw you forward, then get down, and then they throw, and then once you slide back, they just launch you. They had a guy get launched out of the ring. Like he was
tossed into the stands?
Tossed into the stands.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. So it's called Rex. PBR Rex on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Okay. It's hilarious. I'm going to check that out. But yeah, this guy's apparently okay. He was cracking jokes while the ambulance was coming. And thank God for all the people that were around that were able to sort of shoo off a little bit the bison.
Yes.
Because it hovered over him. And they thought that he might like really try and go for the kill.
Well, you did have the truck that swung by right before the big hit. They should have jumped in the bed of that truck And then there was a car that came in afterwards, right, and was kind of like trying to shoo the Bison. Like, it was a good team effort.
It was. It was. It was all hands on deck at that point. But, man, when that thing got going and the look on this old man's face running around in his suspenders with a Santa beard getting launched above the giant trees that are surrounding them. Just an unbelievable video.
It could have been spinal. It could have been a massive head wound. The 559 says, we had two buffalo in North Richland Hills when I was a kid. They jumped a 6-foot fence and ravaged our neighborhood. Yeah. Could you imagine bison on the loose? Yeah.
No, dude, not with that with that speed. I mean, I had no idea the 10-second split on that thing is impressive.
We got to run. We're coming back to get you set up for our baseball All-Star Break specialty show with Rob Bradford coming up at 7 o'clock and then Fan After Dark 9 to 11 here on the...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rob Bradford's coming up at 7 o'clock. He's going to host the Midsummer Baseball Showcase Special. And then after that, you'll get Fred and Blake, Fan After Dark, coming up from 9 to 11 here on The Fan. Okay, the NCAA is facing a federal class action lawsuit against its new rules. Stop me if you've heard this one before. I don't know what to expect, but 11 D1 athletes have filed a federal class action lawsuit in Colorado that alleges the new eligibility rules have adversely affected their ability to extend their college careers and the NIL benefits attached to that opportunity. A couple of standout basketball players are involved in this. Didn't see any big football guys, but if you can imagine, you know, you're planning on continuing with the sham that is a college sports eligibility up until very recently. Yeah, of course, I'm going to play a sixth year. I was COVID. I got hurt. Red shirt, gray shirt, this, that, and the other thing. I'm a 28-year-old junior. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they can't go to the league, so they're like, hey, I was going to get a bag here. I was going to get a couple hundred grand or maybe even more. And the NCAA recently announced their eligibility rule change that grants all athletes 5 years to compete, but it did not grant athletes who exhausted their eligibility in the 2025-2026 campaign an additional season. If successful, the federal lawsuit could essentially nullify the NCAA's new eligibility rules for a massive pool of athletes across all sports who would then be allowed to re-enter the transfer portal and extend their careers.
That's wild.
The craziness continues. But I guess we maybe should have seen this coming when they passed the rule. Like, yeah, you can pass whatever rule you want, but will it stand up in court?
Sure.
And right about now is when I will, you know, request we get Ari Temkin on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe to
Ari's pretty good at that.
Clarify it.
Yeah. He is good. Okay, prices for the cheapest tickets to tomorrow's World Cup semifinal at Dallas Stadium have dropped by 60% since the United States lost in the round of 16. They've been in a free fall. You can now go to tomorrow's game for about $1,600
okay.
to see France against Spain. If Argentina was involved in this semifinal, I think the prices would be about double for that.
I'd love to have seen, like, I would consider doing it if England and Argentina were in it like that. If their match was in Dallas and he only had the budget to do one,
that'd be the game.
That would be the game to go see. Absolutely.
I mean, that's incredibly exciting. I think after watching this tournament, Kylian Mbappe is the best player, and I don't know if it's that close. And maybe it's just because the guys on his team are so fantastic that it frees him up. In, I mean, they're Olise and Dembele, and it's just like it's incredible. Did you guys see the special that Henri did about the part of Paris that he's from? It's basically an area of a 5-mile radius just outside of Paris. There's a fancy name for it, but it's got hundreds of thousands of people living there, and 55 kids that grew up there are playing in this World Cup.
There's like 12 for France and then like 40 other players from a suburb of Paris that are playing for other teams.
It's like the DeSoto of Paris.
Basically,
it's a gold mine.
Just cranking out players right and left. But yes, I expect France to go on and win this thing. I don't even know who I'm rooting for. I would take joy in watching any one of these teams get the victory. Fuller and Balogun, the U.S. striker, has signed with Clutch Sports. He is drawing interest from Paris Saint-Germain and Tottenham, reportedly interested in signing him in the summer portal previously of Monaco. And it'll be really interesting. You know, 25 years old, I don't know how much upside he has in his career, but I think he definitely drew some attention for the quality that he did demonstrate. But I did feel like that whole thing, I would love to go back and undo that and keep the USA feeling like we're the team that got gypped. We're the team that's getting wronged here coming into that game. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I
just kind of felt like, you know, I mean, I know that we were all happy about your best player playing, but maybe it might not have been different. You mentioned the quality against Belgium. It wasn't good enough. Maybe it was the one thing that could galvanize you a little bit. We're playing without our best guy, but the U.S., as we all saw, was just they were just awful.
They looked totally stunned.
Yeah.
You know, they were shell-shocked.
You were wondering if they were, like, preparing not to play with him.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, he's playing, and then their guard was down.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we've done it.
Yeah,
you know,
we got our best guy back. We don't have to, you know. Everybody else is kind of thinking, God, we got to play huge roles in this match. And you know, when they get their guy back, they all, like I say, they let the guard down.
We always talk about how with the Cowboys, there's like this sense of entitlement that maybe takes away from their drive or their hunger. Mm. And I think this was the first time that maybe some of those players actually were receiving that kind of recognition, and managing success can oftentimes be more difficult than managing failure. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring is coming up next with your Midsummer Classic Baseball Extravaganza. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635. Just went a full flawless. Thanks to Broadus and Woolchuck and Chiafalo and Austin Nix coordinating your video. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going on with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.